Do you like music?
It's rich, it's alive, it's vivid. Stereophonic sound.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want?
Fame, fortune, platinum records. It's every boy's dream.
Every one of my records means something. The label, the producer, the year it was made.
I'm teaching you about rock music.
Seriously, you're totally elitist. You feel like the unappreciated scholars.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
Hey, gang. It's your old pal, Mr. Eric here, coming at you view to a kill Bond word association, apparently having some kind of stroke. And I'm not going to edit any of this out because, let's face it, if you're here, you know what to expect. I'm sitting across from the lovely, the talented, the leggy Chris Saint-Savour.
I don't think that's ever been used to describe me.
Well, no, because you're short.
Yeah.
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 But leggy
and
works.
Built like a tree trunk.
Yeah, but still got legs, don't you? I mean, you have the average amount of legs that a human would have. But, you know. So we're going to be taking a look here at season 4, episode 46, Paul's Critique. I'm particularly fond of that, so I'm going to work that in as much as humanly possible.
The intro is a great place to do it.
I think so. I think that... You know, if you've been following from the beginning, I came up with that like 4 months after we started the recording process. So I am...
You made it in time for the actual posting of the episodes, though.
Right. And for the body, so to work it into the conversation, yeah. Like, you're listening to Paul's Critique from Cut by Cut at Radio Mutation. That was my wildcat sound. Because we are renegades of podcasting, I think. Our job is to put together, what, the loosest podcast on the net? I mean, some people work on their real tight ship, right? Some people work at, you know, they have names for segments and segment transitions.
Yeah.
Not you and me, man.
We try to. I think, tongue-in-cheek, we work some of those and sometimes, too.
Sometimes, but I think any looser and we would be drunk.
This would make...
I think that...
This would make a fine digression connection right off the top.
Next time, I'm just going to just drink a ton of whiskey and get, like... Drunk.
You're going to have to teach me the controls first, though.
Oh, yeah, they're real easy because I don't know how to use them even. But so here we are, face-to-face, couple of silver spoons, and we are taking a look at The Sound of Science. My initial hypothesis, since we are working in the field of science officially today, is that the first half of this song is a calm-down song, just like To All the Girls is a Bridge, as explained in previous podcasts. Then there's sort of this explosion into, you know, their second wind, if you will, before we get the side.
Are we about halfway?
Through the album? No.
No, yeah, we're not. So they're already taking a breath.
Well, yeah, because they're coming in hot off of License to Ill.
Yeah, okay.
Right? It's like no time has passed, right? They released License to Ill. They toured for 2 years. Then they recorded this album. As far as they're concerned... They're still running the race. Okay. For the rest of us, we've had time to nap and take a breath and not have women on cages dancing on a stage. You know, it's the trade-offs that we have. So, you want to jump in? Shall we jump in? Or what are your impressions? I know that...
Right off the bat?
No. Just overall impressions of this song before we get into our judgments.
So, yeah, before we get into... I prefer the second half of the song. To the first half of the song.
Yeah.
It was a little too... first half... I don't know. It just doesn't resonate with me at all.
You're not a fan of that slowdown moment.
Yeah. I kind of just want to keep going.
Yeah. When the Beasties take it easy, you're not happy.
Not in this case. Not in this example.
Three guys from Brooklyn can't have a single fucking break, huh? Is that what's happening here? You're one of those fans. Okay. I get it.
Yeah. That's where I'm coming at. From anyway.
Well, I'm going to say most bands, when they bring it down a notch, I don't care. Like, if the band is operating at the same level of energy, that's what I want. I don't want this is our ballad, this is our slowdown track.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess because I feel like I'm throwing money at them to buy this album, entertain me.
Sure. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, dance. Like, I feel horrible saying that.
Yeah.
But I want to be entertained. I want that assault. And I understand that's not how it works. You have to take a break,
Well, build. I guess I would have been fine if the beat changes or the music changes. That's fine. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I wasn't satisfied necessarily with the lyrical content either. So I would have liked that if you're going to make the beat less complex, maybe make the lyrics a little more complex.
I think the lyrics to this song are some of the most complex.
Do you really?
I really do, yeah.
Hmm.
I think that there are jokes within jokes happening here. If you say the I word, so help me God, I'll stick out your eye.
The what?
The I word. You're going to make me say it now, aren't you? The inception word.
No, I wasn't going to say
that. Thank God. Anyway, just up there with Kevin Smith, man, Inception also drives me nuts. I did that to myself.
My hands
though.
Are up, and I'm in a...
I totally did that to myself.
A non-threatening pose.
You gave me caffeine right before the show.
Palms are open.
So here we're dropping science, dropping it all over. Right?
Yeah.
They're bumping around the town like when you're riding your Range Rover.
Yeah, a problem I don't have.
Right. Okay. But then they get to expanding the rhymes of Sucker MC Amateurs, Noggles, Isaac Newton, the scientific EZ. For years, I thought Noggles was, and I feel like a fool, some unknown scientist. And I'm, thank God I never tried to, like, have you ever had this thing, like you hear something in a podcast or on TV and you don't bother to fact check it?
Oh, all the time. Yeah.
And so you use it in conversation and someone drops it on and someone's like, I just had a conversation with a guy the other day where luckily it worked for me, but I was really nervous. So I didn't realize that basically Henry Ford was an anti-Semite and basically had factories in Germany at the beginning of World War II build Hitler's war machines.
Okay.
Right? And he was a fan. We'll say that. He's also the only American mentioned by name in Mein Kampf in a positive way.
No kidding.
Like Hitler was a total fanboy. And so
I love me some Ford automobiles.
So somebody had mentioned that I was having a conversation with somebody. It was actually, believe it or not, relatively civil conversation. And I brought this up as an example of, you know, a failure of capitalism, which is putting money over humanity.
Okay.
Right? Ford put money over humanity. And this person was saying, no, he created a 40-hour work week for his people. He was actually very good to his people. And my thing was, no, he was good to certain people.
Yeah, sure.
And other people he wanted systematically eradicated from the earth.
I'm not laughing at that.
Yeah, kind of a problem, right?
Right.
You know, 6½. So the guy told me, he said, no, that's just some bullshit Marxist propaganda. And I got worried. I was like, oh my God. So I started searching the internet and I could not find anything that said Marx created this as propaganda,
yep.
Right? And so I asked him, I said, well, where did you get your information? He's like, where'd you get yours? And I was like, well, I have this article from the New York Times and the Washington Post and a PBS documentary and a biography of Ford and actually Mein Kampf and like all of these other things. Where's your thing that this is all pretend?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it's just something I heard. And I was like, well, oh my God, I just won.
Like, I won.
It was a small like little victory that I had. So
sound the buzzer.
So all that relates to Noggles, which is a taco joint in California. And so from Noggles to Isaac Newton, that's the sound of science.
Yeah, oh, so I didn't, not quite to the paranoia or the depths of have it being somewhat a relative newcomer to the album, I'll say. Like,
yeah.
These are, every time we talk about a song, I'm basically dipping my toes in the waters of the song.
You're dipping
song.
Your waters into the toes of life.
You know, toes.
Yes.
In skimming the lyrics and hearing them, I'm like, oh, it must be some scientist I don't know about, right? Just, yeah, someone, because, yeah.
So
so your fact.
Yeah,
is
and then there's Ben Franklin with the kite, right? And it's getting over with the key, which I always heard as Chevy Nova with the key, because they mentioned Nova at one point somewhere else in the song album or some kind of car. And so I was like, now how does Isaac Newton relate to the Chevy Nova? And I couldn't for the life of me, but I wouldn't want to let, even after knowing I was singing it wrong, I couldn't let it go. I liked my version better.
So it's Chevy Nova, getting Chevy Nova with the key?
Yeah, which means nothing. I know that Kicked Out of the Palladium has to be an actual. I mean, it's not. It wouldn't be a surprise to hear they got kicked out of one of their own concerts or something like that. So I'm going to start that rumor. But it's the. I don't know. All right. So
right here.
Yeah.
They start. They're talking. These are the sounds of science. Sounds of science.
Yeah, don't go where you're gonna go yet.
Okay.
Because that's the whole second half of our show.
Okay.
And we haven't even gotten to the first half of our show yet. But I want to break down this opening chapter because I think that this song is really, like a lot of the other tracks on here, deceptively metacognitive, deceptively looking at their own career.
Okay.
Because we've got now the dregs of the earth and the eggs that I eat, right, Eggman. I got pegs through my hand and one through my feet, which there's two distinct connections here. One, we're all being crucified, right?
I think Yauch makes multiple references to that in his career. I don't know about this album. But.
So there's this, we're being crucified,
right?
Which also plays into the fact that they borrow three Beatles tracks. Right?
Yeah.
Because what wasn't it John Lennon who famously said we're bigger than God?
Sure, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they got crucified for it. So I think the BC Boys kind of talking about being crucified for all of their past sins. But since this is a song about grossly misinterpreting science, they're pithed, or what is it called? Isn't that what it is? They're pithed when you take a bug and you put it on a...
I don't know
a
that
board
term
for
either.
Display.
Sure.
There's a word for it where you take the pins and you stick them through the feather, the wings and whatnot.
Okay.
And I think it's called pithed, but I could be very, very wrong. Anyway, I'm sure nobody will contact us because nobody ever does. So we can be as wrong as we want, and it's awesome. We have a free pass to just make up all the shit we want. So that's the first part. And then all of a sudden we get Rope-a-dope, the newest and new, right up to your face and diss you, right? And all of a sudden the song finds this electricity. So that whole opening verse is just a rope-a-dope, right? It's just going up against the ropes in a boxing match, feigning weakness, feigning being in trouble, and then coming out unbelievably hard.
Yeah.
With time and money for girls covered with honey, you lie and aspire to be as cunning, right? Coming right into it. And so the rope-a-dope was made famous by, of course, Cassius Clay.
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali. In the 1974 Rumble in the Jungle. But most people do know this, I think, but I don't know how many people have actually ever heard it. Clay wrote his own poetry. And actually put out an album of poetry that was heralded even by the very famous nature poet Marion Moore.
Huh.
So I don't think that they're going this deep, but I think that these connections are lining up perfectly.
Sure.
Like she has these poems like the Jerboa about this tiny little desert rat that like invades the pyramids and stuff like this. And she's amazing. But the idea that it would loop around to science eventually. So I want to play just a clip of... the Cassius Clay, I Am the Greatest poem.
This is the legend of Cassius Clay, the most beautiful fighter in the world today. He talks a great deal and brags indeed of a muscular punch that's incredibly speedy. The physic world was dull and weary. With a champ like Liston, things had to be dreary. Then someone with color, someone with dash, brought fight fans a running with cash. This brash young boxer is something to see, and the heavyweight championship is his destiny. This kid fights great. He's got speed and endurance. But if you sign to fight him, increase your insurance. This kid's got a left. This kid's got a right. If he hits you once, you're asleep for the night.
So I think that rope-a-dope is exactly this. It's their whole gimmick, right? Their whole thing is creating these really tight rhymes. And in doing this rope-a-dope, they are in fact imitating Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
And I think with this coming out harder and harder and harder with the left and right and the bouncing lyric stuff that they've got going on.
Hot potato lyrics? Is that
the
what
hot
it was?
Potato lyrics? Yeah, yeah. I think what they're doing is they're trying to set out and say, we're the greatest of all time. And I do. I believe that that's maybe not consciously going on in the track, but most definitely unconsciously. And then, of course, I don't know. I've been talking a lot. Do you want to say anything real quick?
No, I'm following along with everything you said.
Yeah. Okay. So the last thing I want to talk about, the last line I wanted to get at here was the Fountain of Youth. What is the line here? Ponce de Leon, constantly on, the Fountain of Youth, not Robotron. And again, I go back to this. They're being deeper than we give them credit for, because obviously the Fountain of Youth is maintaining youthfulness, eternal youthfulness, right? Yeah. Immortality, if you will.
Yep.
The game Robotron, or Robotron 2084, was designed by the guy who made, I want to say it was a Space Invaders type game. So up until 1982, all of the games, the 8-bit games that were coming out, were these sort of top-down games where things like Centipede and Space Invaders, they all came from the top of the screen and you defended the bottom of the screen.
Right.
Robotron was the first game that was actively, so the designers say, attempting to kill you. So everything about Robotron was, we're going to try to myrtleize you. Okay? Which is obviously the opposite of Fountain of Youth. So Fountain of Youth is, we're giving you eternal life. We're going to give you all of this. Robotron is all about violence and death and destruction. Third line of that, peace is a word I've heard before, so move, move, move upon the dance floor. We're just going to keep you young by dancing and hitting you with all of these references and keeping the rhythm moving faster and faster and faster and faster. So when you get to the fifth line of that last verse, because I'm not going to die one day, because I'm going this way, right? It's this true memento mori kind of moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I always like that, not going out like a roach or a piece of toast.
Yeah.
I'm going out first class, ain't going out coach. I do appreciate that.
Yep.
Can't take it with you kind of attitude, right?
Yeah, I'm going out like a king, man. Yeah. You know, I'm the greatest, and that's how I'm going. They'll be, you know, Ozymandias, right? There'll be statues of me that long since deteriorate, but you'll still be talking about me.
Right.
The true irony of it all.
Yeah.
So I'm just... I like to drop Ozymandias whenever humanly possible. You know, a little Shelley for the people at home.
I'm always afraid to say that name wrong.
Yes, so. Do, because no one's listening and no one's correcting us. So we're good. If you would like to correct us, you can reach out to us at cutxcut@gmail.com. You'd be the only one, folks. I mean, a lot of you have reached out and done the 5-star reviews and left little comments, and all those are perfect. No one ever sends us mail.
We've gotten a few over the years.
Yeah, that's true. 42 episodes, we've gotten a few. Anyway, so...
Somebody send Eric a note.
I know, I'm so lonely. That's pretty much what I have for Illusions. I mean, I could go on probably for about 86 more hours just on this song.
Yeah.
But let me throw it back to you.
Let me ask you this. Are you satisfied with... The Illusion.
I love this song.
Yeah.
I absolutely love this song. Yes. I'm satisfied with every verse, every line, every bit of enjambment, every punctuation, every semicolon. Every bit of this song is amazing.
I don't feel like the opening line, dropping knowledge. I don't know how much knowledge was dropped in the song. That's my thing.
Well, you're looking, because I...
Do you know what I'm saying, though?
Well, what kind of knowledge are you looking for?
Well, I just would I guess I'm so here's so I'm gonna fully admit that, like part of the 33 1/3 write up on the song was that this song was one of the songs that paved the way for, kind of the later generations of mathcore, nerdcore rap that has come out and like that started in the 90s, and there's plenty of examples of it now.
Sure.
That I'm going to just choke on my I'm not able to make the name references right now, but I wanted more out of the song, I think, as I got into it, but I think it was because I'm looking at it with hindsight, right? So I'm admitting the flaw in things I'm about to say.
Sure.
But it wasn't deep enough for me. The song is called Sounds of Science. It neither literally had scientific sounds in it, like I would have liked maybe more science samples in there. I don't.
But what more science? What more knowledge do you want than live your life to the fullest and enjoy every moment? Because that's how you go out first class. That's not
no,
how you go.
No, that's part I liked. I guess. Yeah. They're saying things like the only even they named a few names, Noggles.
Yeah.
You know, the scientist Noggles.
yes, the inventor of the Tuco theorem.
Isaac Newton, Galileo, Ben Franklin, and whatever else.
But see, all that stuff gets thrown out the window as we get to the core of the song, which is celebrate life. Like, these guys spent all their time taking apart life to find out how it works, when none of that matters. What matters is enjoying life.
Okay.
That's my defense of it.
I'll allow it.
I
can appreciate that.
I also used to use that defense in science classes as a kid, and it's one of the reasons you're an engineer and I teach English.
Well, I guess I was looking for something a little more literal then.
We were looking for something like what? Again, what would be your idea of literal?
Well, like, so maybe they could have had like a metronome clicking in the background. Maybe
okay.
Something actually setting a physical beat.
Yeah.
Or I think I have an example of now. These guys are not competing with the Beastie Boys in terms of talent. But I found a physics rap
okay.
that I thought was funny. So hit me with some of the.
So this is the physics rap from Sammy G and Dan Tizzle. This is what you've sent to me. All right. So let's see what kind of knowledge they drop, shall we?
Sammy G. Don't tizzle.
It's just Dante.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Where are we going?
Sammy G, Don Tizzle, here to solve the physics riddle. Motion and its properties, force, mass, speed, biology. Sir Isaac Newton showed the way, with four base laws out we obey. Number one, the uniform motion, notion, ocean, commotion.
My name is Don Tizzle, I don't know how to rap. I may look like I should know how, but I don't know how to rap. I'm gonna take a minute and correct my buddy Sam.
Sammy G!
Isaac Newton had three laws. Number one is that if the net force is zero, then an object's velocity is constant. So basically, when something is at rest, it'll stay at rest. Or if something is in motion, the velocity stays the same unless an external force acts upon it. Like that.
So, so this, I mean, it really is you and me, right? I mean, like, I'm like, look, just get it through for the song and make the words fit and it's all right.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, read the damn fine print. This all works in a particular manner, and if you don't pay respect to that, we're all doomed. Is that what you're getting at?
Sure, sure.
All right.
They have a nice tongue-in-cheek. Like, obviously, when he goes to do the first law.
Yeah, yeah. And it's summed up by just words that rhyme. Yeah.
He doesn't even try to rhyme anymore. He's just reading the first law.
Exactly.
So, anyway, I thought that was humorous, but... I guess they're trying to drop. So that's the flaw in, I guess, going on the pure fact side of things, right? Kind of impossible to make a song out of that.
Sure.
They do a better job with the second and third laws, by the way. But anyway, I thought that was funny.
Sure. Well, I'm going to throw one back at you.
Okay.
This is Blackalicious with yep. Chemical Calisthenics.
Yes.
Which is just my interpretation, right? Like, here are some science words. In no particular order, but they're all complicated to say really quickly.
Yes.
So let me do this as fast as humanly possible. Yeah. So this is Blackalicious.
Good. Can you say it faster?
I can do anything. I can do anything.
Here we go.
Neutron, proton, mass effect. Lyrical oxidation, your irrelevant mass spectrograph, your electron volt, atomic energy erupting as I get all open on betatrons, gamma rays, thermal cracking, cyclotron, any and every mic you're on, transuranium, if you're always uranium, molecule spontaneous combustion, pow. Law of death, net proportion gaining weight, I'm every element around. Lead, gold, tin, iron, platinum, zinc. When I rap, you think iodine, nitrate, activate. Right to radium, the only difference is I transmit sound. Balance with some balance, then you add a little talent in. Careful, careful with those ingredients. They can explode and blow up if you drop them and they hit the ground.
Shit. I love that.
That shit at the end? Shit. Yeah. I don't think I've actually ever heard that before until I had headphones on. I was like, damn, that's brilliant. And so, I mean, but that's more like, that's everything, by the way, I hate about musicals in one song.
Is it really? Oh, just the, I what, hate, the change of cadence and stuff?
No, no. Musicals bother me as a whole, and concept albums typically bother me as a whole, because I hate the concept of, I'm going to tell a story now. And so the song doesn't matter. It's, I'm going to, like, you know, I'm walking down the street in the rain. I'm feeling bad. In vain. Like, shut up. Like, you know. Like,
how is that that?
Well, I feel like that's just a list of science terms thrown together, right?
Sure.
It's not, there's no progression. It's just science, 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 science. These are science things.
Isn't that a faster version of Ponce de Leon, Constantly On?
No, I don't think so. I really think the Beastie Boys are sending this message of momentum more. Like, this is life, man. Grab it by the balls and do it.
But that's the second half.
And but it's got to, I mean, yeah, but it's got, there's always, right? So one of the things I teach in my poetry classes is that capital P poetry, right?
Yeah.
Not the kind of stuff you put in your journal and you're like, you know, I stare at the void and the void stares back. Black's what I wear on the outside because it's how I feel on the inside. Yeah, that's perfect for your home poetry, right?
Sure.
When you know, really something profound about Jennifer who sits in front of you. if you're actually writing capital P poetry, like something to elucidate, something for art,
mm-hmm.
right? There is a shift in a poem, and this is a move from one tone or concept into another. And there can be multiple shifts. But typically, all poems are reduced to, you know, a beginning and an end, or there's something that happens in the middle, a twist.
Sure.
That doesn't have that, and I find that most musical songs don't have that as well. They're just songs to spell out an idea.
Yeah, sure.
Here's science. Now, that being said, the Blackalicious one is unbelievably difficult and unbelievable, like the speeds, the slow ups, the slowdowns, the assonance, the consonants, all of the stuff that makes speaking a poem incredibly complicated,
yeah.
The tongue twistery kind
right,
of stuff.
Right. No, Blackalicious is great, I think.
Oh, he just stomps all. Tongue twisters don't exist in his world.
Yeah.
And then we have a last one that you sent me.
Yeah, so the other thing was the place where the Beastie Boys lyrics did get a little bit, towards the end of the second verse, it says, well, I figured out who makes the crack. It's the suckers with the badges and the blue jackets. Professor of science, because I keep dropping it. Where's the next line? They have another line later where they're buying their weed from another cop or something, right? So anyway, I'm not finding the second lyric, but they're making allusion there.
The boys in blue.
So part of the problem is the cops are keeping people down, and they're just taking what they're taking from. They're going out raiding people, and then themselves becoming the dealers, which is plenty of stories that and of that. In
sure, and we here at Cut by so, Cut do not mean to disparage yeah. the local police force,
oh, no.
the DEA, the Nation of Homeland Security, who are no doubt listening to this. hey, boys.
No, I find these are the exceptions rather than the rule, but there have been plenty of documented cases
yeah.
of these things that have happened in the past. So what that made me think of is Mos Def's song Mathematics. And then, so I accidentally just in the lyrics, reading the lyrics, stumbled into something that, while not Sound of Science, but Mathematics, where this is a little bit better example, I guess, what I would have maybe thought of, or what I expected out of the song, where he's not doing anything in Mos Def's song, he's not doing anything overtly mathematical, but he's simply counting, right? And he's got a real neat motif of every verse starts with a number. So he's basically listing all these things that are going on around him, right? And then he's making allusions.
All right.
And then he's even going a little more in depth of what he talks about, and he specifically talks about how his people are targeted by police and all those around him and stuff like that. So it's...
Well, let's give it a shot and see what you think. Bucka, 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 bucka. You know the deal. This is me, dog. Be
released by Supremo for all of my people, Negroes and Latinos, and even the gringos. Yo, check it, one for Charlie Hustle, two for Steady Rock, three for the fourth coming live, Future Shock. It's five dimensions, six senses, seven firmaments of heaven to hell, 8 million stories to tell, nine planets faithfully keep in orbit with the probable tenth. The universe expands length, the body of my text possess extra strength, power lifted, powerless, up out of this towering inferno. My ink so hot it burned through the journal. I'm blacker than midnight on Broadway, your myrtle. Hip hop past all your tall social hurdles, like the nationwide projects, prison industry complex, working class poor, better keep your alarm set. Streets too loud to ever hear freedom ring. Say it.
Nine planets, huh? Shame about Pluto. You hear about Pluto?
Stay yeah. true, Pluto.
That's
Stay
messed true. Up.
I believe in Pluto.
You know, as we're having all this conversation about, you know, science and whatnot, I will flat out admit that one of the reasons I don't like science is because everything I expected science to be, I learned from 1980s movies, like Weird Science and the E.T. and what was the one, Val Kilmer?
Which one?
It's Val Kilmer, and he's in college and with a whole bunch of other science nerds.
It'll come to me.
That's what I expected science to be. I always expected science to be Dr. Frankenstein's, you know, lab, bubbling beakers, errant bolts of electricity shooting forth.
Yeah.
Science for the sake of purposely bending the laws and defying nature, like laughing in the face of God.
Okay.
And what we got was, in page 85, you'll find that Isaac Newton was hit in the head by a rotted piece of fruit, and, well, that really ruined his day, but he gained an incredible understanding of gravity.
Sure, I get it.
I wanted science to be like a chalkboard the size of a small city and me understanding what every single letter meant.
Yeah.
And when it was none of those things, it was sitting in a desk being preached at by an old man, I was like, well, they got the cardigan part right. Like, with everything else about science just flat out sucks.
Sure.
And I'm sure there's science people out there who are like, hey, testing on lab animals gives me a great sense of pleasure. And without the sacrifice of chimps and dogs and rabbits, you wouldn't have your fancy-dancy polypropylene or, you know, baby aspirin.
Sure.
But I always, I wanted science to be really exciting. Like when you get those like junior chemistry kits as a kid.
So you retreated to the excitement of looking on your bookshelf for a name.
Oh. Yeah, I did. You know why, damn it? Because I can sit in a library with the book that I'm reading and like two open notebooks and the Oxford English Dictionary and be like, oh, this word means this and it's from the roots that mean this. And so subsequently it all, da-da-da, and draw these strange connections. Granted, a lot of them fall under paranoid fantasy, but it's still, to an extent, something more tangible and more exciting than hand me just that, you know, like, I don't know, I wanted movie science. I mean, I don't say I wanted to create Kelly LeBrock in my basement, although that would have been a nice after effect, but I felt science should have been as alive as the Beastie Boys were making it.
Yeah, but they didn't really hit you with any science other than mentioning scientists' names.
Yeah, just no, saying. But the knowledge that they drop...
Which is more of a history class than a science class. Yes. That's where I was going with
the science. Knowledge that they drop is go enjoy life, right? Eat chicken gizzard with a girl named Lizzie. And at the end of the day, just drop science like Galileo drops an orange.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the ever so wonderful... If you're going to have a last line that doesn't have a couplet, it doesn't have its...
Yeah.
Right? Because this whole last verse is all couplets until you get to the end with orange and the song just ends.
Yeah. No, that was great.
So, you know, as far as samples go on this track, we'll play... You know, what we've been doing is adding a bunch of the samples to the end of the show.
Yes.
Although, in 2018... even I worry about throwing three Beatles songs at the end of a podcast. I would rather
pick one.
Yeah, I would rather have my anti-politics podcast blow up than have Beatles lawyers coming after me.
Yes.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Eric.
If people want to write to us, how would they get in touch with us, my friend?
Eric, I'm glad you asked.
Oh, good.
They can write to us at cutxcutpodcast.
Uh-huh.
Now, hold on.
Are you having trouble concentrating?
cutxcutpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
We're on the Instagram, cutxcutpodcast. I think we're on Facebook at the same thing.
We are, except no, we're not there.
Well, it's there.
Yeah, there's a page for it, so go join it. Become friends with people who are there.
If you get enough notifications going, maybe Eric will look at them.
I'll come back. It's like Beetlejuice. If you mention my name three times, I will return. Next, this Thursday coming... No, I'm sorry, I got confused. We're recording this for a future date.
Yes, we are.
I have a thing. I'm at this point, it'll have been in the past, but right now it's in the future.
Okay.
So the novel Sound 100 is out there. So if you were a fan of my previous show, The Novel Sound, I'm actually going to, I think I might start it up again with a few, like, you know, 6 episodes a year kind of thing.
Okay, cool.
So look for that.
Well, I'm a fan, so you got one fan.
So look for that in the past.
Will you be, so you're going to do this one episode, the 100th episode.
The 100th episode is, or was. It
would have been out already on the Cut by Cut podcast.
Oh, yeah, a couple weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago.
All right, so people can go find that if they haven't already.
Correct. And then that'll be on Radio Mutation. Our good friends at Radio Mutation will be picking that show back up. And I think that Radio Mutation is also being broadcast through some other internet radio service, but I don't know what that is.
Well, next time we'll know what we're talking about.
Exactly. In the past. So I'm going to play us out with some Pato Bonton, unless you have something else you want to say.
I'm good, man. These are the sounds of Cut X Cut Podcast.
Now this one is dedicated to the people all over. Remember the words of your crucial entertainer. When I say I do not sniff the coke, I only smoke the centimila. I do not sniff the coke, I only smoke. I do not sniff the coke, I only smoke. I do not sniff the coke, I only smoke. I do not sniff the coke, I only smoke. Without a doubt, I am the boss, and in my class, I am the teacher. If music is a fruit of life, then I will be a reaper. If MC business was a school, then I would be headmaster. If a car, I'd be the driver. If a bike, I'd be the rider. If MC business was a church, Pato would be the vicar. And instead of calling me MC, you all would call me preacher. But fun and joke aside, I won't get serious in this matter and dedicate this style to each and every cocaine dealer. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke. Now I go sip the coke, I only smoke. In February 1985, Pato became a winner because I did that tune called Hello Tosh. In February 1985, Pato became a winner because I did that tune called Hello Tosh. It shooted up the charts and nearly gave my mama a failure. She looked at me and said, son, me glad me grow you proper. I sound like you had been a pride and joy of any mother. Now make the fame get to your head, just think about your future. Doubters of encouragement just made me push on further to break down any walls and also break through any barrier. I got a lot of guidance from GT, who is my manager. Assistance from Dan Christie Fashion helped me cross the border. I also got a lot of aid from good sense Emila. That's why I do not snort the coke, I only burn the ganja. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke. Sense Emila. Pass the coach in the bar. Train from Birmingham to London. Halfway on my journey was approached by this white ruffian with greasy hair and scruffy jeans. He looked just like a villain. He sat down opposite me with a tenants in his right hand. But I don't judge appearance, I just check the way you galang. So I introduced myself to him as Mr. Pato Banton. Nice to meet you, my name's Rowdy and I work with PA Hire. I've heard your name someplace before but I just can't remember. But anyway, I'm very
very, very, very glad to meet ya. And I've got some dope, it's Frosca's Coke, kicking up this for a fiver. I looked down on the table and saw a piece of silver paper. Inside the silver paper was some powder that looked like flour. Me ask him, what it do for you? It give you strength and power. Now everyone I wanted to hear the way that Rhodey answered. When Mr. Papa Albanton, the sensation is fine. It makes me see Green Men and I go to cloud nine. All my worries and problems left Mars behind. So no matter where I am, I have a brilliant time. If you don't believe me, hold on and I'll fix you a line. Just take one sniff of this and you'll be out of your mind. But I took the coke and threw it right outside the carriage window. Before he could say a word, I quickly built up a five-sheeter into my pocket for my Sensi and my lighter. I lit it with a flash and then to Rhodey passed it over. I could see that he was loving it because of his expression. Me tell him, this is Sensi, the healing of the nation. In some place, doctors use it for herbal medication. Ronald Reagan smoked it just before him go up on television. After Margaret Thatcher visit him, she brings some back to England, then distributes it equally throughout the House of Commons. But fun and joke aside, it gives me deep, deep meditation. It fills my heart with niceness and I get enough inspiration. You could be any color, any creed or any nation. After smoking Sensi Mila, I know you'll find a reason why I do not sip the coke, I only smoke
Sensi Mila.
I do not sip the coke, I only smoke
Sensi Mila.
Nah, I go sniff no coke, I only smoke
Sensi Mila.
I do not sip the coke, I only smoke Sensi Mila. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke Sensi Mila. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke Sensi Mila.
postcard, drop me a line, stating point of view. Indicate precisely what you mean to say. You're sincerely wasting away. Give me your answer, fill in a form, mine forevermore. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me?
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Come on now!
jump back, dig yourself. Is you doing your thing? Is you doing your thing? Get on up,
get on up,
get on up,
get into it.
Everybody over there,
get on up.
Now you over there,
get into it.
Everybody right there,
get in front.
You get involved, you get involved, you get involved, you get involved, you